It's my great pleasure to give a talk at this conference. So it's been a great variety of different topics. And I don't have normal forms in my topic, in my talk, but the background of the problem comes from water waves. And so I would like to start with mentioning the Ostrovsky equation, which is the equation which describes waves in shallow water of long wave waters in a rotating fluid on a shallow water, so this was derived in 78, and here you can see that beta is the dispersion coefficient and gamma corresponds to the rotation, and gamma represents the strength of the Coriolis force. So in my talk, I'm going to restrict to the case when we don't have this dispersion term with beta. So we set beta equals to zero, and we can also renormalize and set gamma to be one. And as a result, we get this reduced Ostrovsky equation, and it has a number of different names, so there is no consistency in how people call it. So in the paper by Hunter in 90, he brought attention to this equation and studied wave breaking in this model. So he called this short wave equation. Then in paper of Boyd, it's called the Ostrovsky-Hunter equation, and we more or less sticking to this notation. And then Stepanyan called it reduced Ostrovsky, and Vakhnenko and Parkes called this Vakhnenko equation. So Vakhnenko derived it from a different perspective, but so he didn't use any fluid dynamics as far as I know. And so this is our model. So in this setting, it models shallow water waves in a rotating fluid in the limit of no high frequency dispersion. And this system and also describes sound waves in a bubbly liquid. So this system is known to be integrable, and so chronologically, or more or less, the results are as follows. So Hunter in 90s showed the wave breaking for this equation using the method of characteristics, and he actually brought this equation to attention of other people. And later on, there were the following advancements, and loop solitons were derived by Morrison, Parkes, and Vakhnenko, and later the inverse scattering transform was set up by Vakhnenko and Parkes, and the periodic solutions were derived by several people such as Boyd, Parkes, and Stepanyan. In my talk, I'm going to give a sharper results on wave breaking than those were proposed by Professor Hunter. But first of all, I would like to say a few words on the generalization of this model. So you can consider the same equation, but it's with a more generalized nonlinearity P here. And in a paper by Stefanov, Shen, and Kevrikidis, it has been proven that there is a global existence and scattering to zero for nonlinearity P greater or equal to 4. In paper by Dmitry, Yu Liu, and myself, we considered cases with P equals to 3 and P equals to 2. In case of one with a cubic nonlinearity, there is a global wave positiveness for small initial data and wave breaking for large initial data. In the case P equals 2, however, there is a wave breaking for large initial data, but we failed to prove the global existence. So this is still an open problem as far as I know. So a few words on this cubic case. This was an equation derived by Sheffer and Wayne in the context of pulses in optical fiber. This is a so-called short pulse equation. This model replaces Schrödinger equations, so it describes very short pulses, and this is an integrable model with inverse scattering transform, also exact n pulse solutions and n soliton solutions, and loop solution and n pulse solutions, and so there is an infinitely many conserved quantities to this model. So, let's go back to the reduced Ostrovsky equation and see what we can get there. So I would like to start with by mentioning the Burgess equation and wave breaking in this model. So we set the viscosity to zero and get this invisible Burgess equation. And if the initial data is smooth and there is a point x0 where the derivative is negative, then we can get a finite time blow up for this solution described by the following characteristics. So at the blow up time, we have the infimum of the spatial derivative going to negative infinity, while the supremum norm of the, well, basically L infinity norm of the solution remains bounded. And the blow up time can be estimated by the method of characteristics as follows. So the larger is the L infinity norm of the derivative, the faster is the blow up. And so now we basically, what we do, we add an integral term to the right hand side to obtain the reduced Ostrovsky equation, and we study this model. So I would like to cite this important result here on wave breaking in reduced Ostrovsky equation. So now we work on a circle. We have periodic boundary conditions, so S is a circle of unit length, and we take smooth data on this initial data on this circle, and if we denote the minimum of the first derivative to be m little and L infinity norm m capital, then with the following relationship between those parameters, we can get a breakup of the solution to the reduced Ostrovsky equation. And what one can see here is that, so if you say fix m, then you can make sure that your initial your solution to this equation breaks down. You can always increase the make the initial data steeper. And our model is integrable, and the wave breaking for integrable systems has been done in many papers. So such as short pulse equation, Kamasaho equation, and DeGasperi's process equation. So we would like to establish the conditions on finite time wave breaking in the reduced Ostrovsky equation and do some numerics to illustrate this result. So I would like to also mention that L2 norm is conserved for this model, and we have an infinite hierarchy of conserved quantities, but this is a negative hierarchy in the way that you get antiderivative for the other conserved quantities. So I will work on the periodic domain, but for the infinite line, one can prove similar results using this conserved quantity. So this is the setup. So as I said, I add an integral term to the right-hand side of the inviscid Burgess equation, and I work on the unit circle. And I would like to define the antiderivative of the solution as follows. So we basically subtract some constant from this integral to make sure that we have to make sure that the integral of the right-hand side is zero, and this agrees with the periodicity of the equation, or the periodicity of the solution. One can show that this equation is locally well posed by using the same method that was used by Schaefer and Wein for the short pulse equation. And so we take the initial data in the Sobolev space or with a zero mass constraint, one can show that we get local well posedness in the Sobolev spaces for s greater equal than 3/2. And I have to emphasize that this zero mass constraint is important, so again, to agree with the periodicity of the solutions. And also, one can show that the blow-up time does not depend on the parameter S in the Sobolev norm. So, we came up with the following characterization of the wave breaking. So we say that the solution blows up if the HS norm goes to infinity at a certain time. And there is a criterion which says that, so one can show that this happens if and only if the first derivative goes to negative infinity at the blow up time, and at the same time the L infinity norm of the solution remains bounded. And so this is important. So we basically look for this to happen in order to say that we get a wave breaking. So let's do some simple estimates. To estimate the L infinity norm on the right hand side, one can just extend the integration over the whole domain, and so this is simple, and then use the Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, and then use the conservation of L2 norm. And also, it is important to estimate the growth of L infinity norm, so one can show that the growth of L infinity norm is governed by the initial data, and that growth is linear. But I suspect that this could be improved, maybe, and here whenever you get an equality result. Right. So one can maybe probably make it sharper. So we establish the following three criteria for the wave breaking. So we take the initial data in Sobolev space, and we guarantee the zero mass constraint. So the wave breaking occurs if one of the three conditions is satisfied. So the first two are established by the method of integral estimates and the comparison principle for differential equations, while the third one, and this one turns out to be sharper, this one is established by using the method of characteristics. And the first two, basically, they all depend on this integral of third power of derivative initial data and L2 norm, which is conserved, while the last one. So this says as follows. So if you have a T1, a smallest positive root of the following construction, then there is a wave breaking provided that there is a point where the derivative is smaller than a given quantity. So this is a little bit involved, but one can estimate. So we just need to make sure that there is such epsilon x0. This basically helps us to choose the right characteristics to get where the wave breaking occurs. Basically, one can also see that larger values of epsilon make this right-hand side smaller. So as a result, T1 gets smaller, and so larger epsilon corresponds to smaller time of existence and steeper initial data. So okay. So let's just make a few comments on the derivation of the first of this criteria. So the trick was to use the evolution in time of this integral. So this is quite straightforward. So we use the reduced Ostrovsky equation and integration by parts to arrive at this equality. And then similarly, we can rearrange things, use the periodicity, and then finally you use some estimates, Cauchy-Schwarz, and arrive here. And then we can notice that this quantity, the integral of set power of derivative, can be estimated by this norm, and this inequality help us to track the evolution of this variable v. So we have a break up. If this norm, if v blows up, then we have wave breaking, because s is integration over the finite interval. So as a result, the equation on v, this inequality describing v, is as follows. And one can show by using the comparison principle that v blows up in finite time. Yeah, don't say what time is exactly here, but anyway. So to derive a sharper result, one can use the method of characteristics. And in this method, we require that the derivative in time of the solution along the characteristic is equal to this integral term on the right-hand side. And to have this satisfied, we get evolution of coordinate along the characteristics as follows. And the initial conditions are, well, this xi describes which characteristics we are at, and this is the initial data. So one can show that this transformation to this characteristic variables is an increasing diffeomorphism, so we can invert it. And then to, well, this is, as Professor Stefanov mentioned, to estimate the growth of the solution, we just take, rewrite the equation in this integral form, and we obtain the following bound on the supremum norm. So now in a new variable v equals the first derivative of u, we can rewrite the equation as follows, where u, we know what is the growth of u is, so we obtain the this inequality on the derivative of v. So we know how the first derivative of the solution grows. And so one can show that if the initial data satisfies this condition with t1 smallest positive root of this, then we have v blowing up for time smaller than t1. So basically this t1, the smallest root of this equation, is estimates the upper bound on the blow-up time. So to make a few remarks here, we notice that for epsilon going to infinity, the blow-up time goes to zero, and this results in the statement that steeper solution, steeper initial data results produces the solutions which blow up faster. And but of course the quantities involved here are more involved, and you have to compute the norms to incorporate all the details. Also, we show that the blow up rate is as follows. So near the blow up, we have ux basically developing a pole singularity of the sort of 1 over t. So this is the blow up rate at wave breaking time. And at the same time, the supremum norm will be the supremum norm will be bounded and so we get this estimate. So as I said, for when you treat this problem on an infinite line, you can also use method of characteristics, and however, the well-posedness here will be in a different space, and therefore you will have to take care of this conserved quantity. And the growth of L infinity normal of the solution will be a quadratic quantity. So this finishes the analytic part, and I would like to show some numerical results which illustrate our analytical predictions. So we solve the equation within the pseudospectral method, so fast Fourier transform, and we consider the two parametric initial data, which is periodic on the unit interval, and so we take a mix of cosine function of period one and this sine function of period 1/2, and so this following figure shows the comparison of different wave breaking theorems. So the blue one, this corresponds to the one derived in paper by Professor Hahn.